I guess I'd say that.
All right. So since the winter time is so hard, what do you and your wife like to do during the winter to kind of alleviate?
We like to ski, cross country ski, snowshoe. We do a lot of that with a gym. Oh, there's a new building in town. I shouldn't have left that out. But the gym is a great resource for activities, you know, so for physical activities. But last year, you know, we did a lot of cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. And the nice thing about that is it's almost like out your back door, you know. You don't have to drive 10 or 15 miles to go someplace where there's a facility of some kind. You just go. We're pretty tied. We've been pretty tied to the school vacation, the school schedule, and that's a significant part of the living in the village, the school activities. Because my wife was a teacher, and so the February vacation and the April vacation, we would usually go someplace. Usually, go ski on the February vacation. And then try to go south for the April vacation. Mm-hmm. But that's, yeah. So I actually don't find the winters, I mean, it's cold. I enjoy the outdoors. And as long as there's light snow, if we're going to have winter, we should have snow and not just... not the cold, freezing rain. So, and last winter was spectacular that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, excuse me. You talked about how the community is very close-knit and very involved with each other. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you're involved in the community of Cooperstown now?
I still work. I'm on the per diem staff, so I do work a little bit. At the hospital. I help out at the food bank on occasion, usually on the days that they unload the truck once a month. A number of people get together, a number of them usually men, but some women get together and help unload the truck and store things. My wife's involved with that on a weekly basis. I meet with my friends on a fairly regular basis, a small running group that we have. And then there are just a bunch of other little community activities that we're a part of, Christmas decoration downtown. The phone and the poles, or a door-to-door program on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Involved with that one way or another. I usually just I would more likely join in and help out in some activity like that rather than be a full-time part of a particular activity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are lots of those, lots of opportunities for that, for instance.
Is your family in the area?
No. My brother lives in Poughkeepsie. My sister lives in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So my brother's about a couple hours away. Yeah.
And I know when we met before, you were talking about...
My daughter lives in California now. She's mm-hmm. lived out there for about 6 or 7 years after she got out of college. And my son lives in Clifton Park, just north of Albany. And my oldest daughter lives here in town. Mm-hmm. And she has three grandchildren, so. She and her husband have three grandchildren.
And how are the grandchildren?
They're wonderful. They're great. There's one's a freshman in high school, one's a seventh grader, and the other one's a fourth, and the youngest is a fourth grader. Mm-hmm. So we spend a fair amount of time with them. It's nice to have them close. It really is nice to have them close. So you just run into them here and there around town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must be nice.
It is. It's a real privilege. Actually, the kids, my son-in-law, John Lambert, his parents also live in town, too. So the kids, I think, have an unusual life in that way, the grandchildren, that they have both sets of grandparents in the town they live. It's unusual in this day and age. People move and travel too much.
So earlier you were talking about how you were part of the residency training program.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how that works at Bassett?
Sure. That was Bassett has a residency training program, as you mentioned. In surgery, when I came here, there were two people in each year of the program, mm-hmm. which is a five-year program, so that makes about 10 or 11 people altogether. It's now three people in each program, in each year, so it's enlarged about 5 years ago. I thought I thought that my experience in residency training was a little, what would I say, that the organization of the program, it was a large program, so it was difficult, but, you know, there were 8 or 9 people in each year in the program. You went to 4 or 5 different hospitals. So your contact with people who were actually in charge was somewhat limited in a way. And when I got here, after a couple of years, I felt like I could do that job in terms of being the program director and have a good relationship with the residents as well. The program director is involved from the get-go. Intern applicants, interviews, selecting people to come, organizing the educational program, organizing the scheduling, managing personnel issues that always come up. And so that was a really fulfilling part of the job. The other part of it that was really helpful, again, comes back to Bassett and its size and the communication and the supportive efforts of everybody, was that you need everybody in the program, all the other staff, to buy into the training of the residents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a one-person job. It's they can learn vascular surgery from me. They have to learn some other, you know, section of surgery from somebody else. And I always had an immense amount of support for that, particularly from one of the chiefs of surgery in the department, Dr. Gold. But usually, you know, in a surgery residency program is always evolving, especially as the rules and regulations come down from, over time, not only the government, but also from the national organizations that direct that. So on at least a yearly basis, you go to the national meetings and find out there's a bunch of different stuff you need to do and things you need to change. And I, every time I came back, it was, you know, I just said, this is a change, this is what we need to do. And everybody said, everybody I worked with said, well, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it that way now. You know, I mean, it was really nice. So I did that for about 24 years. And then it was probably, that's probably too long. But it was nice to do it for 24 years, and it was nice to turn it over to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you know there's a lot you get out of becoming more senior, you know, but there's also a lot of, you know, as you, it's maybe harder to relate to a younger group as you did when you first started. And of course, when you're in charge, sometimes your relationships are good and easy, and sometimes they're not. So, you know, you can be the good guy, and sometimes you got to be the bad guy. Yeah. Anyway, after all of that, it was good to turn it over. Yeah.
So, how, in your view, as both a resident of Cooperstown and someone who worked and works still at Bassett, how do you see the connection and the relationship between the community and the hospital?
I would say it's from I don't really want to speak from like a hospital organization point of view, you know, like how hard it was to get parking lot certification approval from the village or whatever else. There have been those struggles and issues, and usually they work out over time. That's sort of politics and business. From I would say that 90% of the community is very supportive of the hospital. Large majority has an you know, I think it's an excellent hospital, and because of its size, you get an opportunity to relate well to your patients as well as the community, your patients in the community whom you might see at the Price Chopper or whatever, or at the post office some 3 or 6 months later, you know. I think the community is, from a medical point of view, I think really very supportive of the hospital. There's nothing's perfect, and the hospital has its issues in relationship to in some form or another in terms of relationships. I hear people complain about trying to get an appointment or things like that make it difficult. Sometimes parking is but those are important issues, but separate from, I think, the community support for it as a medical institution and getting their medical care there. I think if you said that 90% of the people like it and the 10% want to go elsewhere, I think I wouldn't be surprised. If you said it was 80-20, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. You know, some people want to go elsewhere, just want to go elsewhere. Some people have family in Boston. It's easier if they're going to have some major hospitalization to go there, you know, because they have a better support group for whatever. So, and I think that's pretty understandable. Mm-hmm. The community in the neighborhood because we did live in the neighborhood right next to the hospital, is fairly watchful and protective of their property and spots and things like that, so that when some new building or expansion or parking lot or whatever is proposed, there's a segment of the community there who want to make sure it has the minimal amount of effect on their where they live. That's reasonable.
And they don't seem like they don't seem like concerns that are limited just to Bassett and Cooperstown. They seem like they could be extrapolated to other locations.
Sure, sure.
How do you see the summer season here with all of the tourists coming in and the baseball tournaments?
That's good. That's a good question because it's I think different people react to that differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people who find it a big intrusion and annoying, and other people who less affected by it, I guess. I think, you know, we had 250,000 to 300,000 visitors a year to the Hall of Fame. And sometimes you wonder why we don't have a camping store downtown or, you know, a outlet store of some kind, you know, that, with all of that traffic. And, of course, you know, a large part of that is in those 8 to 9 months and not the winter months. And I guess it's means it's not sustainable. But I think it's good. I think it's good for the village. It's a, you know, it's a good economical engine for the village. It brings a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of people who come back for extended stays during the summer for 5 or 6 months. And so a whole new population from who haven't been here for the last 6 months who come back, you know, the number of people. And so I think that that's, you know, it gives you a change to the system and this social networking that may go on when people come for the summer and when they go away for the winter. It's, you know, it's Dreams Park has had a pretty significant effect on town. Mm-hmm. In the number of people who go through the Dreams Park in the summertime, it's just amazing, the number of kids and baseball teams who come through. And they come downtown and in groups and, you know, they're all 12 and under, you know. They're cute, you know. I mean, they're so it's nice to see them. And baseball fans are usually the baseball fans here who usually come love it. You know, they often, I mean, you'll hear them, oh, what a great town. Oh, that's the way, you know, America used to be, you know. They used to say that more when there was a more diverse small town economy there, I think. But they still, so I think they're very, very good visitors to the town and supporters of the town. So I like it when the summer comes and things change, and I like it when the winter comes and things change again. It's just the opera is a big contributor to that as well. There are lots of events in the summertime, you know, lots of entertainment that comes through town. So it's a busy time. It's a lot of fun.
So you've brought up the opera a few times. Do you and your wife go?
I go about once a year. She's not a big opera fan, but I do. I like the fact that they've sort of starting to broaden their repertoire a little bit. I think that's a positive thing. Last couple of years, they've put on a couple of Broadway shows or older Broadway shows, and expand the audience a little bit. I think they're a big draw for the town as well.
What's one of your most memorable shows that you saw there?
Madame Butterfly, you know. this, yeah, that's pretty standard, lovely opera. But, and I guess you'd have to say I like the famous, or the more, yeah, standard operas. But Madame Butterfly, and I've seen it a couple of times, and I just love how it's presented. It's just a beautiful opera.
It is a good show. Enjoy that one. So yeah. We're coming to the end of our interview period. Is there anything about the town or about the hospital or simply raising your family here that you want to share?
Raising the family, and you'll hear this all the time, it's a great place to raise a family. I think everybody would agree with that. There could be some more opportunities along that line, but I don't know that they would be additions. They're not essentials that I can think of. We have good friends who live in Boston or New York or Chicago or whatever, and sometimes you feel like they have more opportunities for their kids than here, and yet I think that's not altogether true. I listen to my friends in Boston who talk about, their kids were taking Japanese over in Cambridge. I said, well, how long does it take you to get to Cambridge from here? They live in Wellesley. Oh, about 45 minutes to an hour. I can be in Utica, I could be in Albany almost by then. If there was something that was essential that I thought that we needed. So, I don't find that to be a terrible deficit. I hate urban traffic. I think the kids form in a small group, the families, form solid relationships around town that last forever. You see that when they come back for their high school graduation thing. That's a big deal. It's a small school. A very high percentage of people back for, 25th and reunion and things like that. Many of whom still live here.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and for putting up with me asking you questions.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm happy to do that.
Good, I'm glad.
And if, we need to talk some more, just let me know.
Sounds good to me.